Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father again, as we've opened your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come and open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, to this your word, so that we can grow in knowledge and truth and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've got this kind of odd weather out here this evening. I've got my throat all stirred up again. So I'm going to have to clear it every now and then. So just bear with me. And this morning, in our service, we was in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we were on the ladies. Now this evening, fellas, we're going to be on us, because that is what 3 is covering, and it's letting us know that a lot of things today that are in our churches should not be. Now, so let's begin here, verse 1. Now, it's not a long chapter. It's 16 verses. But there's quite a bit in it. And as I said, most of it is about you and I. Verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. All right, we all know that if we're looking to be bishops, which is your pastors, your overseers of the church. And he's letting us know that those that do strive for that deserves a noble task. Now, but there is a lot more to that than just looking to be one. We get into verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless. Uh-oh. Right there. First sentence. There in the second verse. A bishop then must be blameless. Now, he cannot be one that is living in adultery or fornication, and he cannot be a heterosexual, because all of that is an abomination unto Almighty God. But you'd be surprised how many today are in our podiums that are doing exactly that. Plus, as we go on, he's to be the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Blameless means irresponsibility. That is, that he is impeccable in reputation. When the husband of one wife is faithful to his wife, and he's only got one, because he's got more than that, he's living in adultery. He's vigilant, means temperate. And this speaks of spiritual sobriety, not intoxicated or controlled by fleshly passions and sensual appetites. In other words, he's to be actually sexually clean. He's to be sober, is to be a sound mind that is not a frivolous disposition, but serious and possessing good judgment. You see, so many out there, they are not serious really about their work or their calling, because for the most part, most of them are not actually called into being an overseer. They've chosen it in order of making themselves look better in the community and making a living without manual labor. Now, supposed to be one who is given to hospitality, and he receives strangers warmly and treats guests generously. And he is to be apt to teach. In other words, he is to be skillful in teaching the scripture or the gospel of this book. And he should be staying in this book. It doesn't matter what he thinks what his opinion is. It all comes down to the fact, what does the Holy Word of God say? Now, this is giving you and I instructions in what we are to be and how we are to live if God calls us into that line of his work. As we go on here into 3, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous. He's not to be addicted to wine. In other words, he's not to be a drunk. In fact, we find in another place where your bishop or your pastor, because your pastor is scripture-wise bishop. He's put there as an overseer. Now, and it tells us that he's given to no one at all. But, and he's not to be a striker. In other words, he's not to be physically violent, and he's sure not to be greedy, and to where he's fond of making dishonest gain. You see, he's not to have that love of money. Just needs what he should be concerned with is just having his needs met to get through this life here on earth. And patient. He's not quarrelsome. He's peaceable. And that is, he does not argue over minor matters or always seek to have his way, but defers to the wishes of others when no cardinal doctrine or policy is sacrificed. Now, as long as his talking with others, as long as it's not against the Word of God, and has been and being a part of evil, he can stand, even if it's something that he don't like or don't want to do. But he shouldn't be arguing about it and all with others that doesn't see anything wrong in it. You know, we can make most anything wrong. You can take that morning cup of coffee and make it wrong for yourself. All you have to do is believe in yourself that that cup of coffee is not good for you. And once you speak that, then leave it alone, because it becomes evil then for you. You made it that way. It wasn't that it was so evil. And we do a lot of things that way. Mankind does. We make a lot of things evil for us that there's nothing wrong with. Now, this is why we need this study in the Word of Almighty God. That's why the Lord has told us to study his word daily. And he tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman worthy of his hire. Now, you know, my main concern is not to be, my priority is not the acquisition of money. And I don't ask God for money. I do ask him to take care of my needs. He knows how to get the work done. And he does. You see, because the materialism of this old world, it ill befits any one of us called above all to care for the spiritual welfare of souls. Those that are called to be leaders in the church, this that we are learning right now is what should be in and out of their lives. The things they are to have should be in their lives, and the thing is telling us not to have needs to be out of our lives. But when we look around, and as we see these churches today, we're finding so much of that is not holding true. Now, verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. To rule as well his own house means that he manages his family rightly. Having his children in subjection means that he brings about with all gravity in a dignified manner obedience in his children. Because you see, brothers, all of you that will hear this message, you are the head of that house. And it is your responsibility to see the things of God going on in that home and about that home and that family. Now, 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You see, Paul's putting it plain to us. He's telling to Timothy, because he has sent Timothy to establish these churches and to make these elders. So he's wanting to make sure to give him the proper information so that he knows how to establish that church. You see, Paul's reasoning is from the lesser to the greater. A man poorly managed his own family is incapable of giving proper leadership to the church family. Now, 6. Not a novice, least being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now this novice means he is He is not to be a new convert or young Christian. We may render the last part of the verse, least being conceited, he fall into judgment incurred by the devil, as Satan fell through pride similarly, and could be ruined by pride after being promoted to leadership too swiftly. He's not to be too young to sit in these positions. Now, 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into and the snare of the devil. We don't need to be talking down others. You know, and we must be just in our concerns about others, even those that are without, because you see, he is likely to become a target for reproach and disgrace and the snare sprung by the devil. And we all that have been down any of these roads, we know about that because we know how we have been talked about, how we've been rejected, and those around us that are walking in darkness wants nothing to do with us. They lie on you, and whatever they can do to run your character and your reputation down. That's why we are to walk as the Lord Jesus Christ walked, in education, being justified by God. We don't do these things ourselves. That all has to come from the Lord our God. Now, we have covered what your pastor spoke to be. And just as we were told in chapter 2 that God didn't call a woman to be a pastor, we covered that this morning there in chapter 2. And, you know, just so you'll know, in case we've got someone that wasn't with us this morning, so you'll know that I'm not lying, in chapter 2, and beginning here with verse 9, says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearl or costly array, but which becometh women profess godliness with good works. They're even told how to dress. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Look that word suffer up. You'll find that it means allow or permit. So he's telling you. But I allow or permit not a woman. Now, to teach, no usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And we all know First Corinthians chapter 14, he even gets stronger that and says for her to get up there in the church and speak is a shame. Now, we've had the qualifications for your pastors. Now, let's get in here with you men in the qualifications of deacons. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Most of that there in verse 8 is the same qualifications as your pastor. 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. In other words, they're not to be young novice either. And they are to be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless, just like with your pastor. Even so, must their wives be grave. You see, he even tells them what kind of condition their wives are supposed to be in. Not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, there's really not that much difference between your deacon qualification and your pastor. That's why your chief deacon, a church that's going, always has more than one deacon, but there's one that's always there as the chief deacon. And when the pastor cannot be there, something happens that he cannot be there, that deacon should be able to take his place and hold that service. Now, 14. We're just about finished with chapter 3 here. 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul letting Timothy know he wants to come to him and be there very shortly. 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We let you know, if I'm going to be a while, at least I told you how to handle yourself and how you are to behave and to take care of the church of the living God. And he is to be grounded in the truth of knowing all about it. And the last verse now, 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You see, there's a full blot there. And he's letting us know that great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of the Christian religion. The importance of the faith and truth preached by the Christian church is another reason Timothy must behave himself, and manage the affairs as set forth in Paul, letting him know to behave himself just as he's been told in this epistle. And should he fail to do so, the heralding of the Christian faith will be hindered. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was revealed in human form, justified in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, vindicating Jesus in that his true nature was disclosed and his messianic claims substantiated. He was seen of angels. They witnessed Jesus' whole earthly career, and he preached unto the Gentiles. The gospel of Jesus has been proclaimed to the nations, believed on in the world. Multitudes have accepted the gospel, trusting in Jesus, received up into glory. Jesus was divinely taken back into heaven. This has all been recorded and several times in several other places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they witness his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to heaven. And then they were also witnesses to the fact there on that day of Pentecost when he sent the Holy Spirit back to be with mankind, to give you and I the knowledge, the wisdom, and the power to be able to operate on this earth as he did. Because you see, it's not us. It is his power. And it is his knowledge, his wisdom. But we are to be a willing vessel that he can use in order to do this work. But so many of us, we don't want to figure how we can put the time in to study his word as we should and as we're told to do it by his word. These are things that he's told us. It's not my telling you. It's his. It's all in his word. But we let too many things in our lives today come between us and him and what we need to be doing for him. And one day, we're going to stand before him and find out how wrong we were, but then it will be too late. Think about it. And you know, I was talking just the other day to three ladies about the scripture and about different things that God has done for me and how he will work today. Because you see, so many of our churches are not doing any work of the Lord's because they don't believe in it. They believe that it all went out. Apostles died. That it all died with them. No, it didn't. It was just getting started, really. The only reason we're not seeing it today is because God is having a hard time in finding men that will stand up and be accounted and willing to do the work. We all, and the stronger you get in the word, the more opposition you will come up against. But regardless of what Satan will bring against you and I, you can still go through it because, number one, you're not going through it by yourself. Because if you are a child of God, you have the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in you. You're not by yourself. And even though there is pain and all involved in it, that joy inside you knowing that I'm not alone. And that's like I was telling the ladies, Tammy, the things that Satan has brought against me and all. And as I go through it, even though I'm going through things I'd rather not go through. I know I'm not alone, and there is still that joy of the Lord inside me. That's why I can continue going. And that's what we all need to understand. Sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing about getting others in with us to hear the word of Almighty God. Because that's what we are supposed to be all about, is bringing others in with us. Think about it. Pray about it. And let God give you some answers. When we finish with chapter 3, so we're going to stop here for the time being. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close this word, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, I praise you and thank you for the time that we can come together to study your word, to learn, Father, how to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, with you, Father, and to be able to walk in obedience of your word, Father, in helping others to come out of darkness and come to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can find salvation and begin the change of their lives to make heaven their home, so that none be lost. Father, we pray for Israel as we're told to do. You tell us that you will bless those that bless Israel and that they will curse those that curse Israel. Father, we don't curse Israel. We love Israel and the Jewish people because we know, Father, that what we have came through them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth through them. Now, Father, we pray for peace, Lord. But even more than that, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit work with them. Keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. This land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away, took Jesus out of every place he was in. Don't want his name mentioned nowhere. But Father, those of your children will not turn that name loose. Help us, Father. Help us to hold on proud of that name. Praise that name. Never be ashamed of it or be ashamed of who we are. And Father, the evil we have in our government, we pray that they be removed and be replaced with those that belong to you, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, that loves the church and your and what will and love this country and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation that it was founded, that being your word, the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Kenny, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, Tom, Jacob, for Bobby, for Millie Johnson, for my wife, myself, and for all of our families, Father, that the Holy Spirit work in our families so that none be lost, Father, and all will make heaven their home. This is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day, and the Lord be with you. Have a good evening and a restful night.